No, Ms. Doherty's asking a question. How long we've been practicing Krishna consciousness or the bhakti bhajan as a general question, he said. But we can maybe understand something from this general question that can encourage us a better future. There's one place, I can't remember where, but Rupa Goswami Pad is telling in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that no one can attain bhava in one lifetime practice, a devotional service. For some reason he said like that. But generally we see most devotees when practicing for several lives. So when you say, I say 42 years in this life, we've been practicing, but there's a good chance we've been practicing before. And many devotees, my God brothers, etc. Because in the Gita, Krishna says that nothing is lost. Whatever we do in bhakti, it's preserved. That's in chapter 2, verse 40. Nihabhikrama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. Whatever nihabhikrama nasha is a little bit svapam alpasya. Swap alpa means little. So a little bit of bhakti and transcendental practices performed in this life, then they'll be there next life. Srila Prabhupada from ISKCON, he used to say that if you develop 1% Krishna consciousness in this life, then next life you'll start at 1%. You won't start at zero. Whereas you learn engineering in this life, or whatever, then you die. The next life you won't start talking about engineering. But oftentimes to see a young boy or girl born, especially ones that are born in devotee family, it's clear that they're picking up from last life. They almost immediately begin playing mridanga or kartals, or they want to go up and look at the deities, or if the people are a little wealthy, they may have a separate temple room. And the kid always, no matter where the baby is, he crawls out of it. A mother's room, or he crawls out of his room, or anywhere, and he always ends up in the temple in front of Gopal, standing there looking at him and laughing, and then you say, no, come back, go stay here and play over here. And then he goes back. You can't repress it. It's an irrepressible urge for the little child. I've seen it. I met people, their children are like that. They're irrepressibly attracted to Krishna. So this, how is this happening? Why is this happening? This is due to prachin, sanskara, impressions, deep spiritual impressions and experiences from last life or many lives that are stored in the chitta, in the consciousness, and then they fructify in the next life in the form of vasana or desire to continue those practices. So further in the Gita, after Krishna is telling Arjuna about chapter 5 and 6, he's talking about karma yoga and ashtanga yoga, very difficult practices, and results don't come very fast. Any yoga, it takes a lot of time to attain perfection. So Arjuna asks the obvious question, well, what happens if one doesn't attain, he doesn't make it, he doesn't get the goal, does he? Because in material life, you either win or you lose. Not two people don't win. One wins and everybody else loses. So either you pass the exam and you graduate, or you fail and you don't graduate. So with all yoga, either you're perfect and you get mukti, and if you're not perfect, you get birth, janam, punarjanam. So this is the natural question. So then Krishna explains in the Gita It's in the sixth chapter, towards right practically at the end, one of the last verses, verse 44. He says that purva abhyasa riyate avasha. Bhajan apakwo patet abhadram abud kim. It says, due to, and then the translation is, due to immature bhajan, or immature, not fully matured, in other words, we haven't attained prema, due to immature bhajan, or practice of bhakti, a devotee may fall, yet nothing unfavorable will happen to him. That's why it says here, bhajan apakwo patet. There's paka and apaka. The same in Hindi. This is Sanskrit. Bengali is similar, maybe also Riyan. Paka means cooked or ripe. A ripened fruit is all paka. No, it's apaka, apakwa. So this is apakwa, bhajan apakwa. Bhajan is not, you have not attained the fruit. It is not ripe yet. It's not, no flower has come on the bhakti lata. No prema phal, fruit of prema has appeared. But, and patate means you fall. Patate means to fall. So if you fall, then Krishna says, abud kim abhadram. Nothing will happen, no abhadram, nothing inauspicious will happen to him. And what does he say? He says, purva abhyasa riyate avasha. He said that in the next life, he will pick up where he ended. Due to previous practice, he'll become automatically attracted to yoga. Purva avyash riyate avasha. So that proves from the Gita, chapter 2, verse 40, and chapter 6, verse 44, that the fallen yogi, karma yogi, gyan yogi, bhakti yogi, he will not find misfortune or anything unfavorable in his next life. Things will be favorable. And moreover, he will, whatever abhyas, or daily practices that he did, that will be with him and preserved in his chitta. And next life he'll start again. So we don't know how many 40 years we've been practicing. 40 years and 40 years and 40 years and 50 years. This life 42 and last life 52 and last life 62 and last life 82 and last life 92 or next life, this life maybe another 20, who knows, I don't know, Krishna knows, another 20, so that's 62 years. And if I don't make it, then next life 72 and then next life 82. Then. But this is the progress. We just keep going. Determination. So this is the future of the fallen devotee. It's bhadra, it's good, it's fortunate. And he'll begin again. He'll carry on where he left off. And any devotee, senior devotee, after some time and some experience, he'll understand, or maybe right in the beginning, immediately, he or she will understand that, yes, 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 déjà vu. It's a French phrase, very popular back in the 1970s. Déjà vu. I have seen this before. I have done this before. But it's a fact that many devotees, I know when we first, we had different contacts with this Krishna consciousness, hearing kirtan, seeing devotees and hearing a kirtan, that was the first thing. I saw devotees with shaved heads and dhotis and saris and all these things in 1968 in New York City. And I was 17 at the time. I guess, yeah, 17. And then again, I saw them when I was 20. So I saw them, and they're outside on the sidewalk. We went by, and my brother, when we saw them and we heard them chanting Hare Krishna, and I thought, oh, they're having fun. That's nice. That's all I thought. And I thought they looked a little different, but because we're familiar with Buddhists, and Buddhists shave their heads, so we thought these Hare Krishnas, the men at least, or maybe some kind of Buddhists. We didn't have any problem. any negative feelings. There we thought they were nice, they're having a good time. Harmless. Singing on the streets. New York City is like that. You don't know what to expect next. Probably like in India, like a big city like Calcutta, you don't know what you're going to see on the streets next. Naked sadhu or some naked crazy lady or anything's possible in these big cities. Whereas in small villages, these things don't, you don't usually see these kind of crazy things. Some lady lying naked, some Pugilini lady or something. But in the city, you'll see anything and everything. You know? So then sometime later, we saw them again at some big gathering of young people. It was a big protest against the war in Vietnam in 1970 or so. Then I was about 23. I mean, 70, what was I? No, I was 19. What was I? I was 19. 19 in 1970. So then I got prasadam at that time. So then I got prasadam. I remember it was khichdi and papadam. Khichdi and a papad, that kind of crackly, like a potato chip thing, papadam. And khichdi, really good khichdi, very tasty. I can still taste it today. My first taste of Krishna, Krishna phala. And then some lemonade, some drink. Very nice. And they were very friendly, and we were very hungry also. So they were right there in the middle of all the people giving out free food. I was impressed. And then a couple of years later, I moved to California. Then some of my friends, they said, oh, there's a not far from here, about 40 minutes on bus, because we're living in near Los Angeles on the beach in Santa Monica. And they said in Culver City and inside L.A., take a bus, there's a Hare Krishna temple, they have Sunday feast, free food. And I thought, oh, that free food, I remember that. So then, you want to go? I said, yeah, let's, I'm very curious. This is my third time now. Third time interacting or getting the mercy of Vaishnavas. That whole experience was very amazing and very positive because I was, and I could relate to a lot of it. It wasn't all so foreign as I thought it might be. Foreign and exotic and difficult, weird or strange. Because I was raised as a Catholic, Roman Catholic. And we have murtis in our churches, and we have artik, and we wave ghee lamps, and we have incense, and we have holy water, we do prokshan. Prokshan means to sprinkle water for purification. Take a Ganga Jal and sprinkle it. It's called prokshan, purifying, you know, in Brahmins, some rituals I do. Abhyas, nyas, and all that. So many things I saw, and then they had singing again, that singing in kirtan. It was very nice and enjoyable. Eventually, so everything seemed very nice and not so, seemed somewhat familiar to me. So maybe some experience. Then finally I got surrendered, I got guru, everything. When I came to India, first time in 77, I came to Vrindavan, Navadvip, and then Jagannath Puri, then Vrindavan. When we came to Vrindavan, then we thought, oh, this is very familiar, very familiar. And on that tour, we came to Radhakund. I told this story many times. And everyone went on Giraj Prakama, and everyone took snan in Radhakund, all the devotees, about 500 devotees. And when I sat on the banks of Radhakund, I really felt that I know this place, and I've been in this place. Before that, actually, in 1975, I got one book Prabhupada just published when I was there in ISKCON. I joined in 75. Got initiated. It was called Upadeshamrita. Yeah, Nectar of Instruction. And the back is back cover is a picture of Radhakund. Very beautiful blue. And I used to look at that. I thought, oh, that's a very beautiful lake and a very beautiful place. So then there I was sitting right there. I had to write the book, I was right there. 2 years later, I was right there. From L.A., Los Angeles, looking at the picture on the book, 2 years later I was looking, Sakshat Darshan, Radhakund. Sakshat Darshan of Radharani. Little did I know that I'm looking directly at Radharani Sarup. And then I understood that I not only I'm familiar with all this because I already initiated, obviously, but I lived here before. It was very clear to me. And I forgot, I skipped in my chronology here of coming to Krishna. Then in 74, when we went to the temple that time, that was 1974, I believe so. Perhaps I saw the devotees and I moved to L.A. So 74, that was like 4 years later from the getting prasadam. Then we went to the temple in L.A. And I bought some books. Gita, Krishna book, Nectar Devotion, Easy Journey, Other Planets, Isopanishad, and Bhagavad Gita. They really loaded me up. I only wanted to buy one small book. But these Hare Krishna people, they really push the books, you know. They're really enthusiastic to sell the books. So they made me buy so many books. When I read Krishna book, I got Krishna book also. Then I thought, oh, this Krishna Vrindavan is too wonderful, too beautiful. Krishna Vrindavan, especially Krishna with the gopis. From that day, 1974, reading that book. So I can only say that how we come and how long, we don't know how long we've been practicing, we don't know how long we'll continue to practice. The only thing we can say at this point, that Krishna is somehow blessing us, that we have the determination that no matter what happens, we'll keep serving Krishna and keep chanting his name and trying to serve him day after day, life after life. And even never, because once you start, you never stop until you attain perfection. Then again, it's eternal. Bhakti is eternal. Krishna is eternal. His service, his loving service is eternal. So we're serving Krishna now and we'll serve Krishna forever.